Chairs No Waiting, episode number 516, Nostalgia. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great Mayberry items they got over there. You can pick up a Opie's slingshot. That's right, Opie himself will go out and hand-pick a handmade slingshot. That's right, you could have one for your very own. Please don't go around shooting it into trees and killing any songbirds. You can also pick up some Sunday morning breakfast blend coffee. That's right, Mayberry's finest coffee over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. So go over there and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by our executive producers. And this week's, it is Susan and Wynn Arnold. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And it's always great to spend some time with you right here in Mayberry. You join me every week, hopefully. And we talk about the Andy Griffith Show and all the things that make it great, or the cast members. And today, this episode, we're going to talk about nostalgia. First, before we do that, we're going to hear from Randy Turner. So stick around for the nostalgia. Now, if you don't know what nostalgia is, I looked it up in the dictionary, so we have a working definition. It is a sentimental or wistful yearning for the happiness felt in a former place, time, or situation. Yeah, so that's the actual definition, but we're going to talk about what it really means. But first, I want us to head over and hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History, because it's a nice report, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So, Randy, take it away.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Happy birthday to Sheldon Gollum, or as we in Mayberry know him, Opie's friend Arnold Bailey. Sheldon was born on January the 30th, 1955, in Brooklyn, New York, to a mother who hoped to be a stage actress. When he was seven, his mother took him along to an audition for a new off-Broadway show, since she couldn't find a babysitter. He was spotted by the director, who thought he looked right for the child role of Jimmy Potts in the musical King of the Whole Damn World. Sheldon was cast in the musical, which opened on April the 14th, 1962. The play had a limited run of 43 performances, but the New York Times singled Sheldon out for his performance, calling him the wonderful Mr. Gollum. Sheldon had set upon an early path in entertainment. Thanks to the good reviews, New York agents were jockeying to sign him. That fall, he was cast in the soap opera Guiding Light, which was being broadcast from a studio in Grand Central Station in New York City. He stayed with the soap for a year. He made his Broadway debut on December the 15th, 1964, in the musical comedy I Had a Ball, starring Buddy Hackett. After the musical closed in June, at the age of eight, Sheldon and his family relocated to California to give him a chance in mass entertainment. He made his television non-soap opera debut in an episode of the Western series The Big Valley in October 1965. That year, he also played a bratty child in the war comedy The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, which was released the following year. Sheldon quickly became an in-demand child actor, guest starring in 1966 in the series The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Time Tunnel, and Please Don't Eat the Daisies. He then joined the cast of The Andy Griffith Show as the recurring character Arnold Bailey, a friend of Opie's during the last two seasons. His first Mayberry episode was Opie Finds a Baby, which aired November the 21st, 1966. During his time on the show, Sheldon and Ron Howard became good friends. They spent 3 hours a day in school together when Sheldon guest starred in an episode. They also shared a love of basketball, so much so that the producers built a court on the set so they could play between takes. Ron Howard has said he recalls Sheldon as a great and funny guy and a good actor. Between his two seasons in Mayberry, Sheldon appeared for a time on another soap opera, The Edge of Night. After he left the soap, and before the final season of The Andy Griffith Show began, he adopted the stage name of Sheldon Collins, simply because his given last name was hard for people to pronounce. When not shooting in Mayberry, Sheldon also guest starred in the series The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., a two-part episode of Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, and notably in an episode of Star Trek. He also appeared in the 1967 film The President's Analyst, along with Artie Johnson, who was recently profiled in a history report. By the time The Andy Griffith Show ended in 1968, while Sheldon was feeling more confident than ever in his acting abilities, he was unfortunately hitting his teen years, a difficult period for actors who were too old to play children, but too young to play adults, especially when some adults can pass as teenagers, allowing producers to shoot without the 5 hours a day limitation required with child actors. Sheldon did appear in two episodes of Mayberry RFD and did still guest star in series such as My Three Sons, Daniel Boone, I Dream of Jeannie, and The Mod Squad. By the early 70s, and now in high school, while he did appear as a guest star in one series in 1971 and another in 72, Sheldon decided to pursue a different career path. A bright student, he graduated magna cum laude from California State University, attended dental school in Iowa, and is now a practicing dentist in Colorado Springs. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Great report on Sheldon. If you'd like to make sure you don't miss any of the great reports and things that Randy is doing in and around Mayberry, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss anything. turnersgrade@gmail.com. So just hearing that about Sheldon, I got to meet him several years ago, and there is a podcast episode about this where he was at the Mayberry Squad Car Rendezvous in 1998. So if you'd like to go and check that out, you can go to Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 471. A link will be in the show notes for this episode. So if you go to twochairsnowaiting.com and look for this episode, 515, you'll see a link in our show notes for that. So I got to meet him, and you know, that's always so much fun to meet these actors from the Andy Griffith Show, even the ones that were in smaller roles or weren't in as many episodes. Sheldon was such a nice person, and it's just a lot of fun. So that kind of makes me nostalgic for that Squad Car Rendezvous. It was a lot of fun, a lot of great memories back in that time. And as I said at the beginning, we're going to talk about nostalgia, and it is a sentimental or wistful yearning for the happiness felt for a former place, time, or situation. That's kind of what I was feeling as we heard that report from Randy. And hopefully that's what we hear when we go through these podcast episodes. Now, this one you're about to hear is one I honestly don't remember, because I recorded this podcast episode back on August the 26th in 2017. It's never been released, but it's all about nostalgia. And what is nostalgia, and why we as Andy Griffith Show fans have this yearning for that time. So let's head over and listen to Alan from 2017 give some words of wisdom. I guess I don't remember what I said about nostalgia. We're going to talk about nostalgia. Nostalgia. That's something I think that we as Mayberry fans really have, we have a in spades. We have a lot of that. And I guess the really question there is it good? Is it bad? What really makes us love the Andy Griffith Show and be nostalgic for that time? And is it just the Andy Griffith Show that we love? Or is it really the simple life that we had back then? What actually is it that draws us to the Andy Griffith Show? We have fans all over the country that gather at huge events like Mayberry Days every year. We get together as large groups. There's tribute artists who dress up like characters from the Andy Griffith Show. There are people who have squad cars that they've taken a 1960s Ford Galaxy and turned it into a replica of Andy Griffith's squad car right there in Mayberry. What makes us do that? What are we looking for? Is it the simple times? Is it that? Is it the past that we're really looking for? Does it remind us of our childhood? Does it remind us of people we knew growing up? I know in my case, that's one of the things that draws me to the Andy Griffith Show. And one of the things I believe that makes it so believable is I knew people when I was growing up that were a lot like, well, I knew a lot of people that were a lot like Ernest T. Bass. They seemed to live around me a lot. I knew ladies like Aunt Bee and Clara. They went to church with me. There's a lot of those people from the Andy Griffith Show that are like people I knew growing up. So is that one of the things that draws me toward the show? I had friends like Opie. They like to play football and baseball and ride their bikes and go down to the pond and throw rocks and try to skip them. We all did that. But is that what draws us toward it? I don't know. I know it is some of what draws us towards watching the Andy Griffith Show. We've been doing podcast episodes for a long time now, and we've interviewed and had interviews with Harvey Bullock, one of the writers from the Andy Griffith Show that was responsible for creating, you know, 31 episodes of the show. He grew up in North Carolina. I believe when he was writing for the Andy Griffith Show, he pulled in experiences he had as a young man, growing up. And those experiences, when he wrote them down on paper, those helped it become a little bit more real to us. I believe that's part of it. The Andy Griffith Show is never about jokes. It was never about one character being mean to another one. Andy Griffith always said that the main part of the Andy Griffith Show was love, that all the characters had a love for one another. Andy, oh my goodness, he loved Barney. Barney did some of the dumbest things you've ever seen. And Andy was always right there to put his hand on his shoulder and be able to lift him up. Can you imagine actually doing that with your friends? If you had somebody at work, would you do that all the time? Would you always make excuses for the guy who screws up all the time? Well, Andy Taylor did for Barney Fife. And isn't that kind of a admirable quality that maybe that's one of the reasons we're nostalgic for the Andy Griffith Show? Because we wish people were like that, you know, who would do unto others like we'd have them do unto us. I'd like people to take up for me. So maybe that's part of it. Andy Griffith also talked about that the Andy Griffith Show, while it was set in the 1960s, it was created with more of a feel of a show from the 1930s or 40s, or a town of the 1930s or 40s, because that's when Andy grew up in Mount Airy, North Carolina. He grew up as a young man in the 30s, late 30s, early 40s, 50s. And so when you see Mayberry, even when it was made originally, may have been a nostalgia trip for Andy Griffith. He was going back to a time when life was simpler for him. He lived in that town and people were like they were in Mayberry, friendly to one another and looking out for their neighbors. Maybe things weren't like that completely in the 60s, but they were when Andy was younger. And so even in the 60s, when the show was being made originally, there was nostalgia then for a simpler time. So is that what it is? Is that one of the reasons that we want to be like Andy? We want to live in Mayberry? I don't know. What makes us go out and try to collect memorabilia? You know, there's a lot of that. I have it all behind me. If you ever watch the podcast, you can see the videos. People have told me that there's things on the bookshelves behind me. And sometimes they can't pay attention to the podcast because they're trying to look and see what's back there. Well, that's memorabilia. And it's just stuff that reminds me of the Andy Griffith Show. There wasn't that much memorabilia or merchandise created for the Andy Griffith Show back when it was on originally. There's very little from the 60s that was actually part of the show or sold as part of the show. I know I've seen some notebooks with Andy and Opie and on the cover, but there just really wasn't that much. So, you know, we're heading towards 60 years later. There's still new Mayberry stuff that comes out, and people want to collect it. People head over to Weaver's Department Store online. They go to weaversdepartmentstore.com, and they see things there. They see a Johnny Lightning squad car. They see those Barney Fife lapel pins. They see videos. Why do they collect these things? I think it's because they want to have just a little bit of that in their life. For years, people have gone to events, Mayberry events, where cast members were there, and they stand in line for hours sometimes to get an autograph. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and Betty Lynn, Thelma Lou, was there signing autographs. And people stood in line for 2.5 hours just to get an autograph from Betty Lynn. And I think that's because they want to have just a little piece of Mayberry to carry home with them and be able to look at and remember that day when they met Thelma Lou. And they had just a little bit of that Mayberry experience right there in their life. So is that some of it? Is that why we go around trying to get Mayberry t-shirts and Mayberry bumper stickers and all kinds of other Mayberry stuff? Just so we can be reminded of our love for the Andy Griffith Show? Do we want to live back in the past? Is that what we're heading for? I'm not quite sure that's it. I think it's really that we remember it so fondly, whether it's right or wrong. You know, sometimes we have a rose-colored view of the past that we grew up in as a young person. Maybe it's not quite like that, but we wish it was. We wish it was like we remembered it. And when we watch the Andy Griffith Show, we get a little taste of that, because when we see it on there, we go, yeah, that's the way I remember it. So is that what makes us nostalgic? Yeah, I don't know. I don't have answers. These are questions. You know, is it good to wish we were living in the past? How healthy is that for us? In all honesty, I don't think most of us actually want to go back into the past and live in the past, because, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, it's on the internet, and there was no internet. So there's been some good things that have happened. We've been able to communicate better with each other and visit. We don't have to call Sarah to get her to call somebody on the phone for us. We can just send a text message or something and people will get it. Yeah, sometimes that's not that good, I admit. But in general, do we really want to go back to a time when you had a party line phone and you had to wait till everybody got off of it? Now, sure, it's fun to think about it and remember it, because I grew up, there was a party line and you had to wait until the person that was in your loop got off the phone before you could use the phone. And while that's fun to talk about, it wasn't that fun. It really wasn't. So do we really want to live in the past, or do we not? Do we want things to just go back to the way they were? No, I don't think so. But we do have a lot of good memories from then. And I think those are the things that we hold dear and want to have in our lives. So we want to draw those in. Now, is that healthy? I hope so, yeah. Because hopefully you had a good life when you were younger. And hopefully you do wish things were like that. Or when you watch the Andy Griffith Show and you see how nice people were to one another. We want that. We want that in our lives. We want to fill that relationships. We want to have our neighbors know us. You know, I live right here in town, and there's houses behind me and to both sides, and I only know one of my neighbors. So would it be nicer if, you know, Miss Edwards lived right down the street and we could just send Opie over there to pick up some sugar for us because we forgot? Maybe. Maybe it would. So whose fault is that? Is it our fault? Yeah. Because we don't reach out to our neighbors. We don't do that. Do you ever see them out on the streets? No, because everybody stays inside. We don't sit out on the porch like Andy and Opie and Aunt Bee did. Sitting out there waving at the Beemans when they walk by. Hey, there's Plain Claude. Plain Claude. Why do we call him Plain Claude? Well, it's because he's so plain. He looks like... No, that's not why. It's because he's not a junior or a senior. He's just Plain Claude. Oh. That's what Andy and Opie and Aunt Bee did. They got to know their neighbors. So, nostalgia. Maybe it is something we should reach toward and try to be a part of. And how do we do that? Well, we do stuff like we go to Mount Airy, North Carolina for Mayberry Days. Mayberry Days held the first or the last full weekend of September every year. Fans from all over the country come to Mount Airy, North Carolina, Andy Griffith's hometown, just to get a little bit of that feeling of neighbors, loving neighbors and friends being there to back you up. Those are the things that we want. And that's one of the reasons people travel to Mount Airy for Mayberry Days. That's why they go to Danville, Indiana, to go to Mayberry in the Midwest. There are Mayberry events all over, and people do travel there. And they travel from a long way. Sometimes you just wonder. I go to Mayberry Days every year. I've been going since 1993. It takes me almost 9 hours to drive up there. So it's a 18-hour trip up and back. And I've probably been up there 20-something times just to Mayberry Days, not counting other times I've been to Mount Airy. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Or is it? I met a lot of wonderful people. There's friends I've made through the Andy Griffith Show that are friends for life. Great people. They're kind. They call you on the phone to check on you. They send you emails and text to see how you're doing. They wish you happy birthday. Those are the kind of people we're looking for when we make these trips to Mount Airy or to Danville to go to one of these Mayberry events. And we see all these tribute artists there, these guys dressed up like characters. Yeah, I know, I'm one of them. I do Floyd. But why do we enjoy that? Because it just makes it a little more real. When you see him there and you see Barney standing on the side of the road there walking down the street and people are crowded around him and he's writing them a ticket and giving them tickets for jaywalking and for whatever reason he's giving them, for a bad haircut, whatever it might be. It just makes you smile. It's fun. And it just helps it be a little more real that life that we see on the Andy Griffith Show could be true. That what we've seen, the love, the friendship, that it's real. And I think that's what we're really looking for when we travel to some of these events. When you leave from one of those events, how long does that last? Do you have that feeling? You get that really warm, great feeling there with all those friends and all the, almost like family. It's like a family reunion when I go. How long does that last? It's kind of up to you, because there's a lot of ways for us to stay in touch now. You got this show, the podcast. You can have just a little piece of it, hopefully every week. That's what I try to do, just to let you feel some of that Mayberry feeling and get just a little bit excited about the events that are coming up. And for watching another episode of the Andy Griffith Show, I've seen them 100 times, but I'm going to watch it again. You throw in that DVD, or right now you can turn on Netflix and watch it. It's right there at your fingertips. You can watch Andy Griffith Show anytime you like and just get that little sense of relief from all the stress and pressure that you've been going through every day at work. There's nothing better than watching the Andy Griffith Show for relaxing and getting rid of some of the stress. Back in the early 90s, The Gulf War was starting, the first Gulf War. And that was one of the reasons we started the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter of the Andy Griffith Show on the internet. Yeah, I know it was on the internet. No, the internet's too fast and all that stuff. But it wasn't. Friends and family and folks that love the Andy Griffith Show, they gathered together and started doing quotes to one another from the Andy Griffith Show, quoting Barney and Floyd and Otis and Andy and Opie. They quoted back and forth to each other. They'd mention things they saw. And that was in the early 90s, 1992. And you know what? That Who's Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter? Still around. There's 12 or 1,300 people that get a daily email talking about the Andy Griffith Show with one another. Why was it started? It was started because we saw the Gulf War start, and there was a war going on, and, you know, it was stressful. And what better way to relieve that stress than to quote the Andy Griffith Show and read those lines? You open up your email, and right there in front of you is a quote from Barney or Floyd saying, "Look, you see what it said on the sidewalk out there? It says, Bobby Gribble hates him alone." How can you not smile when you start reading those things and just start feeling a little better? Even if it's only for a few minutes. If it's for 30 minutes as you watch an Andy Griffith Show episode, if it's for 15 or 20 when you're visiting with me here on the podcast, or if you're getting an email from some Mayberry friend or a Facebook page, that's the new way, where folks can visit with one another and smile and enjoy themselves and get a little bit of relief from the stresses of life. Is that some of what the nostalgia for the Andy Griffith Show is caused by? Yeah, I think it is. Is that good for us? Sure is. I think it is. It's a little bit of escape from just the things we're having to deal with. So when you travel to Mayberry Days, how long does that feeling last? As long as you can let it. I wish the Mayberry Days happened more than once a year so that I could get that feeling and keep it strong all year. I do my best, but I love that little charge up you get when you go to these events, because you get to see all your friends again, whether it's the characters from the show that you're seeing and enjoying it, or if it's your friends you actually made when you traveled to Mount Airy or to one of the other Mayberry events. You meet some of those Mayberry people, they'll be your friends for life if you'll let them. So what's the future going to be like? The Andy Griffith Show has been on almost 60 years. It started in 1960. Still going pretty strong. Do you think it's going to last? I do. I think it will. TV Land's been showing the Andy Griffith Show for years. Every several months, the management there at TV Land or whatever station you're watching, they decide, let's not show as many episodes. We'll show less of these. And they'll make an announcement about it. And then within about 2.5 weeks, somehow the Andy Griffith Show starts coming back on all the time again. It's on 2 or 3 or 4 times a day. Why is that? Because people still hunger for that life. They still hunger for it and still want to see it. So will it help keep going into the future? I think it will. I've been seeing that for years. We got in the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter, we've got young people and we've got old people. And everybody in between. Now, granted, there's not as many, 10 to 20-year-olds. But something happened somewhere in the 30s, from what I've seen over the years. I guess maybe it's people start having kids and start having families of their own. And then they start looking for things to watch on TV that they're not afraid of their kids walking in and seeing. And they start watching the Andy Griffith Show because their parents did and their grandparents did. And then the kids start watching it with them. They see Barney and Opie and they think they're funny. The parents see Barney and Opie and you know what? They think they're funny. So I have hope that nostalgia for that simple time will stick around for a lot of more years. Wow. Folks, that was Alan. Back in 2017. So I'm back here now. And I got to tell you, have those same wishes and desires. You know, I'm still just as hungry for that nostalgia of the Andy Griffith Show and living there and being a part of it and having friends and family around me. Isn't that what we all want? I think that's what draws us back every week to the Andy Griffith Show, or every night, however often you watch it. It brings you back to those fun, good times that we've had visiting with family, sitting on the front porch, and just enjoying life. Friends, I want to encourage you to do that, whether it's sitting outside your porch or at your church or wherever it might be. Connect with some people. Connect with them, because you can make a Mayberry in your life too. And you can bring a little of the nostalgia, which, remember, is a sentimental or wistful yearning for the happiness felt in a former place, time, or situation. You can bring that into the future with you, and we can all enjoy each other's company. Friends, I would love to hear from you. I'd like for you to give me a call at 888-684-8415, and let us hear what you think about nostalgia, about why you love the Andy Griffith Show, what it is that draws you back. I'd like to hear that. You can also email me at floyd@imayberry.com, but call me. That's a lot better way to do it. Folks, until next time, I hope you'll get out there and make some of that nostalgia real today. And we'll see you right here on Two Chairs. No Waiting.